Let's read John chapter 6, verse 64 through 66, and then we'll see what the Lord has for us this morning. We'll go back through the, unless the Lord changes, through the book of John chapter number 6 and see some things and see. The Bible says in verse number 64, "But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him." Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege, God, that you give us to be in the house of God this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you save. Lord, I pray, God, this morning that, God, that you would save, Lord, that one this morning that's under the sound of our voice that needs salvation. Lord, I don't know, but you know. Lord, you know, God, is the message, Lord, this morning is Jesus knows more than you. Father, I pray this morning that, God, that you would just ever magnify yourself in this service. Lord, I pray that the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, would rest upon us. God, I pray that my speaking and my preaching, Lord, would not be in enticing words of man's wisdom, but, God, in the demonstration of spirit of power. God, I submit myself to be used by you. God, every ounce of my being, from the bottom, Lord, of my feet to the top of my head, Lord, everything that's in between, God, I give it to you to be used for your honor and your glory today. God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would manifest Himself through the preaching of the Word of God this morning. I pray that, God, that it would lodge in the Word of God would lodge in the hearts. I pray the light, God, of the glorious gospel, Lord, would appear to those that are in darkness. God, I pray that you'd do the drawing. I pray that you'd do the saving. I pray that you would do the healing this morning. God, that needs to be done. Lord, we love you. And Father, we thank you today. In Jesus' name, I humbly pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus knows more than you. So often in our lives we think that we know this and we know that. And understand today when I say that Jesus knows more than you, I want you to understand today that He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly the state that you're in. The Bible tells us in Psalms 103, He says He knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Remember and understand this, He knows what you're made of this morning. The Bible also says in Jeremiah chapter number 7 that it says this, that He knows our heart. And the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the Lord said, I know it. I try the heart. He also says in Psalms 44 verse 27, He knoweth our secrets that are far off. He also says in Psalms 139, He says, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." The Lord goes on to say, He says, "I am the Lord." He said, "I searcheth the heart, and I trieth the reins." He also says in John chapter 2, He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Paul wrote to the Hebrews and he said this. He said that we are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. Understand this morning that Jesus knows more than you. Now, I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt their salvation this morning. I'm not that kind of a preacher. But I want you to know, without a shadow of a doubt, that Jesus knows. And you know that you're saved. Not what mama has said. Not what some preacher said. Not what you thought. But what you know. What will your answer be that day when you stand before the Lord? Would He say to you, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Or enter thou into the joys of thy Lord." You see, He knows this morning. We as Christians and we as humans, and we can play the game and we can put on the facade and we can claim the promises and we can claim the truths. But understand this, the Bible's more than believing just in Jesus. The Bible, I mean, salvation's more than just believing just in Jesus. Even the Bible says that even the devils believe and tremble. Remember, as I was in Sunday school this morning in Matthew chapter number 10, I'm there when Jesus came. I'm there to the tomb of the Gadarene demonic, and he was there. And the devil said, "Lord, art thou come to torment us before our time?" They know their demise. They know the scriptures. The devils believe and tremble that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They believe that this morning. The Bible said this, Jesus said, believe the scriptures, for it is they which testify of me. Understand this morning, you can believe your Bible, every word of it, but until you believe on the one that it testifies of, he don't know you. Notice here, let's go back in John chapter number 6 and let's look at some things this morning. Notice in John chapter number 6, verse number 5. I want you to notice there was a great following of the Lord this morning. And may I say unto you, salvation's more than following Jesus. Notice here what the Bible says in verse number 5. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now understand, Jesus had went up into the mountain and he was sitting there with his disciples, and then all of a sudden there was a crowd that gathered around him because they were following him. And may I say unto you today, just because you follow the Lord does not mean that you are one of his. There was a great multitude that was following the Lord on that day. Look in verse number 2. The Bible says, "And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles." May I say unto you today, there's nothing wrong with loving the things of God and loving the blessings of God. Man, these people followed the Lord and they loved his blessings. Not only did they love his blessings, they wanted to hear him teach. They came and they sat down and they said, "Lord, would you teach us things out of your word?" They loved to hear the Lord Jesus Christ teach. They loved his teaching. They loved his blessings. I'm beloved, they even loved his miracles. They loved and followed him so much that in Matthew chapter, on down in this chapter here in verses 24 and verse 25, you'll find that they went all the way across the sea to follow him. Look at verses 24 and 25. The Bible says, "When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither?" Do you understand? There are people that get up every Sunday morning and, beloved, they put forth an effort to follow Jesus. This Monday morning, they put forth an effort to follow Jesus. There's nothing wrong, beloved, with following him. There's nothing wrong with loving his blessings. I'm loving his teachings. I'm wanting to be where Jesus is. But just because you have those things in your heart, it does not mean that you belong unto them. Because this is the crowd that he's talking about at the end of John chapter number 6. They loved his. They followed him. I'll be honest with you. I remember when I was a teenage boy and lost and on my way to hell. And I was going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I would sit in the house of God. And man, I would sit in youth meetings and I would sit at different places. And man, there were things about the teachings of the Lord that I liked. There were things that appealed to me. There were things that I wanted in my life that the Lord was offering. But I knew that I was lost and on my way to hell. And I thought, well, if I just keep doing these things, then maybe it'll be enough. Understand here, there was a great following. Look at verse 28, and I'm going to preach fast this morning because of time's sake. There was a great following, but now understand this, they began to look at their persons. Notice what Jesus said in verse number 27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of God shall give unto you, for him that God, he for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? I mean, man, this crowd was saying, Lord, we want to be a part of what you're doing. Lord, we want to be a part of the great works that you're doing. Lord, what can we do that we can be a part of the great work of God? And may I say unto you today, there's nothing wrong, I'm beloved, with wanting to be a part of the work of God. I'm beloved, we need more Christians being wanting to be a part of the work of God like this crowd. I'm beloved, there was a crowd here, they wanted to do the works of God. They not just wanted to follow him, they didn't just love his miracles and love his blessings and love his teachings and love all that he had to offer them there. And they didn't just love the good things, but they wanted to be a part. They had a desire to do something for God. They said, Lord, what can I do to do the works of God? What is it? What is it that I can do that we might work the works? Yeah, can I sing in the choir? Can I teach Sunday school? Can I give out a tract? Can I read my Bible? Can I lead a group? Can I do this? Can I take after and look after this one? Can I treat my neighbor good? Lord, what is your works, Lord, that you want me to do? And they were willing to do whatever the Lord said. They said, Lord, teach me how to work for you. They said, we want to work the works of God. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with you wanting to follow the Lord, and there's nothing wrong with you wanting to do the work of the Lord. But understand this, my Bible teaches us this morning that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us, by the washing and the regeneration renewed of the Holy Ghost. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Understand this morning, I'm beloved, understand, I want you to understand clearly, I'm beloved, you cannot work the works of God, and beloved, get to heaven. You can't do it. You can't put money in the offering plate. You can't be at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You can't go on visitation or go look after the widows and the orphans or play the piano or sing in the choir. You cannot work the works of God and get to heaven. Over there, in Luke, he said, there, and when I said, what will your answer be when you stand before the Lord? They were standing there and they said, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Lord, have we not done many wonderful words? Lord, have we not done this? Lord, have we not served you faithfully for all the years of our life? You know what his word is? He says, depart from me. I never knew you. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do the work of God. There's nothing wrong with wanting to follow the Lord. There's nothing wrong about loving His teachings and loving His blessings and loving His miracles. But then this same crowd that loved everything, all the good things that Jesus was doing and wanted to be a part of all the good works that He was doing, and beloved, they still had a little bit of doubt if Jesus was really real. Because look at verse number 30. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him and whom He hath sent. Then they said therefore unto Him, what sign showest thou then? Lord, I believe, but if you'd give me a sign, I'd fully trust. Lord, just give me a sign. Lord, I've seen you change lives of other people. Lord, I believe your scriptures. I believe your teachings. I believe your saying. But Lord, I just need a sign. Anybody ever been like that? Lord, I just need a sign to know that you're real. Lord, would you just give me a sign? Lord, if so-and-so will go to the altar, then Lord, I know that you're speaking to me about my salvation. Lord, if so-and-so, Lord, if you'll let this happen, then Lord, I know that's a sign of you. You see, they didn't have full faith in who He was. because they was looking for more proof. What more proof could he have given them? They had seen his miracles. They had seen his blessings. I mean, I'm beloved, he had fed the 5,000. They sit there on the hill and he heard them speak. And they heard him speak. But they said, Lord, if you're really Jesus and salvation is really true, just give me a sign. I remember as a lost teenager that had professed to be saved, I said, Lord, if I'm really lost, just give me a sign. Lord, if I'm really saved, just give me a sign. Just give me a sign. You see, the problem with looking for signs is the Bible says the Jews require signs. The Jews look for signs and wonders. See, that's not what faith. See, what happens is this. When you ask the Lord, say, Lord, give me a sign, then there's nothing wrong. And understand, I'm not saying there's something wrong with flowing out a fleece, but understand, a fleece is not a faith. That's Old Testament. Go back to Judges chapter number 6. Gideon threw out the fleece, but that's Old Testament. Okay? But now understand this. Lord, give me a sign. Your faith will become more in that sign than the one that gave the sign. Oh, well, I know that it happened because I asked for a sign and I seen the sign. So what's your faith in? The sign. Your faith's not in Him. And they said, Lord, if you're really Jesus, show me a sign so I can believe. Show me a sign. So we are not only seeing that they were following him, there was a great following. They were looking at the right person, but they were looking for a proof. And understand this: faith is not sight. A sign is given for sight. You're not saved by sight. You're saved by grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is the avenue that grace travels into your life. See, sight is a sign. Lord, show me a sign that I might see. That's what they were asking for, but that's not what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Faith is trusting and believing the Word of God is true, and that the God of the Word is true, and the Christ of the Word is true, and that what God says is true. And beloved, you trust it and you place your faith in it. One day our faith's going to end inside. Amen. Understand this, brother Jack, for all those years, he had faith. But man, that other Tuesday morning at about 6:45, man, that faith became sight. The one that he had preached about by faith, and one that he'd witnessed to others about by faith. And beloved, he got to lay his eyes on him. And beloved, it was no longer faith anymore, it was sight. It was sight. But here, it's by faith. And understand, they were looking for a sign so that they could say, okay, I've seen it. They were looking for proof. How about this one? Look, verse 31. They were looking at other people's, at their people. They said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. Verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. They said, our fathers. I mean, man, I'm a preacher's kid. I'm a deacon's kid. I'm a Nick's. My family's been in this church all my life. I'm a Hun. I'm a Hicks. My daddy's a preacher. Yep. Come on, preach. Guess what? You ain't getting there on them. They said, our fathers, well, you know, I was in the service when Brother Sammy came through, and I knew Brother Sammy, and thank God, a great man that he was, but I was in that service that night, and man, they were people getting saved. Yeah, but what happened to you? Oh, I've been in this, and our forefathers this, and I was part of the church when it done this. Yeah, but what about you? Our fathers did this. Our fathers. Understand this morning, God's not dealing with your fathers. God's dealing with you. Their father was dead and gone. The Lord is speaking to them directly. And they were saying, well, Lord, it's because of who we are. Well, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a this, I'm a that. Understand this morning, I'm beloved, you need to quit looking at who you are and start looking at who He is. They were looking at their people. And understand this, everybody is good till now. Okay? Everybody's good till now. They like the following. All right? They're good with all that. They're good with His miracles. They're good with his works. Are y'all listening to me? They're good with His works. They're good with their fathers. And they are proud of their heritage. Everybody's great till now. And He's fixing to speak some words and they don't like it. And I'm afraid today that's what's wrong with a lot of our churches. Is that there's people that like the following. Oh, I love Jesus. They like His teachings. Had some good teachings. They like His fellowship. They even like His people. There's nothing wrong with none of that. But when the truth is spoken, they don't like it no more. Let's look on a little bit further. They were all fine. They were all good. Now, let's look the next few verses, and I'll be right quick. I'll be right quick. Verse 35. They were looking for proof. They were looking at their people. But here they are loaded with the truth. Look in verse number 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. He declared His person. He said, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the I am. I am the one that Moses spoke of. I am the one that Abraham believed in. I am the one that Jacob trusted in. I am He. He declared His person. But then He declared their problem. He said, but I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. He says, the problem is, He says, you love my following. He said, or you love my teaching. You love my blessings. You love my people. You love everything about it. He said, but here's the problem. You have seen me, but you don't believe. You don't believe me. You don't believe who I am. You don't believe what I speak. I am He. I'm living proof. I am the Son of God. I am the bread of life. But the problem is this is what He said. You do not believe. Is that not what He said? See, He called them out. He says, I said unto you that you have also seen me and believe not. He declared His person. He declared their problem. Look in verses 38 and 40. He declared His purpose. He says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise Him up again at the last day. He says, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, I come. He said, that's the reason that I come. I come to do the will of God. I come to do the will of my Father. He said, I've come there. I'm there to save those. And He says, I want you to understand that is my purpose. Do you understand this morning there's one reason that Jesus Christ came into this world? It was not just to teach the Beatitudes. It was to save those that was lost. Paul said, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The only reason that Jesus Christ came was to seek and to save that which was lost. All the other, everything else is benefits. That's why he came. They said, you mean it's not just about doing good and loving others? No. See why he came. That was great teachings. We ought to live by them. But he said, the reason I come, the purpose that I'm here is that I might gather all them that the Father hath given me and that I lose none of them. Now notice this, and this is what separates. We're still, I understand, we're seeing this degradation of separation. Y'all see that? Well, first part is people say, well, I just don't believe. Then the next part is they don't believe why he came. They say, well, Jesus was a good man. He was a good teacher. He was a prophet. Okay? He says, no, it ain't why I came. He said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. He declared his purpose. But I want you to notice this first. He declared the Spirit of God's participation. John 6:44, Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father that sent me draw him. Well, I woke up one morning and decided I was just going to be a Christian. You ever witnessed somebody and they told you that? I am. Well, I just decided I was going to be a Christian. Well, when did you get saved? Well, I don't know. I just decided one day I was going to be a Christian. Well, when did the Holy Ghost when did the Spirit of God draw you? When did the Holy Ghost of God come to where you are, the light of the glorious gospel appeared into your heart, the Spirit of God enlightened you to the things of the Word of God, showed you that you was a sinner, because He'll reprove that when He, the Spirit of truth, come, He'll reprove the world of sin. That's conviction. He reproved you of your sin.
Amen.
He convicted you, convinced you that you needed a Savior. Not that Daddy needed a Savior, not that Mama needed a Savior, not that the President needed a Savior, but that you needed a Savior. He reproved you of your sin.
Amen.
But then He romanced you with His love. He said, let me tell you something, Brother Terry. He said, that Jesus, that man told you about at the work site the other day, he said, He's real and He's true. And guess what? You're a sinner and you're going to hell. He said, but guess what? I love you. He says, I love you. And he said, I'm pulling you and I don't want you to live that old wicked life no more. I don't want you to die and go to hell. And I'm drawing you. I'm wooing you. I'm romancing you to the Savior.
Amen.
Because it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance.
Amen.
See, we see the Holy Ghost lets us see the wickedness of our sins.
Amen.
But it lets us see the goodness of God.
Right.
And He draws us. Is that not what Jesus said? Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father that sent me draw him. He despaired the Spirit's doing. Look in verse 63. Not just the Spirit's drawing, but the Spirit's doing. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. You know what that word quickeneth means? Make alive. Amen. To make alive. It's the Spirit that bursts us into the family of God. Man, it's the Spirit of God. Where verily I say unto you, except a man be born of the Spirit of God, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. It's the Spirit that bursts us into the family of God. And how He does it, I don't understand, Brother Bill. I can't understand the transformation. All I know, beloved, is that day as an 18-year-old boy under that dogwood tree. And beloved, they something moved into me. And beloved, it made a change that I couldn't make myself. And I ain't been the same since. And I don't ever want to get over what God done for me.
Amen.
Amen. He quickened me, made me alive unto God. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. See, he does the drawing, but he does the doing. How in the world he took an old sinner like me and made me a saint, I don't understand. How he birthed in me a new creature, adopted me in the family of God, man, birthed me into the family of God, set me in heavenly places in Christ. I mean, man, do you realize all that happened that quick? He does all the doing. All I done was confessed and believed. See, I'm telling you, everybody's fine till we get to there. Remember, when we get to speaking of the truth of salvation, everybody says they're a Christian. But when you get to preaching about the truth of salvation, people begin to examine themselves. Because notice here, it's not only Spirit's drawing, it's the Spirit's doing. But notice in verse 51, let's go back to here. Let me finish. It's a personal decision. Jesus said this, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of the bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Do y'all see that word there? Any man? It's in that Bible, ain't it? We're not Calvinists by no stretch, form, or imagination. God did not elect some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. It's a whosoever will gospel, but it's a personal choice and a personal decision. Mama can't force you to get saved. Daddy can't force you to get saved. The preacher can't force you to get saved. Understand, Jesus said, if any man will come.
That's right.
It's a personal decision. Any man. But it's your decision.
Right.
Oh, I wanted my kids to get saved. I was so scared that I would talk my kids into salvation, and I may have messed up because, understand this, I don't know of any children that's probably struggled more with their salvation than my children, but I was so scared that I didn't want them to trust in Daddy to be saved. Right. If any man, it's a personal decision. Look at verse 54. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up. Let me say this to you, and this is what I wrote. Whosoever will has, and whosoever hasn't, don't. Is that not what he said? He said, whosoever does has eternal life. Whosoever hadn't done it, guess what? You don't have eternal life. I'm sorry. I'm not being harsh, I'm not being arrogant, I'm not being rude. I'm just being honest with you according to the Word of God. It doesn't matter that you love His teachings. It doesn't matter that you love His miracles. It doesn't matter that you love what He has to offer you. It doesn't matter that you believe that He is Christ. But the fact of the matter is, if you have never placed your faith in Him, the Spirit of God has never drawn you, convicted you, convinced you that you was a sinner and you needed a Savior, and quickened you and made you alive, you can want eternal life all you want. But according to Him, you don't have it. I know that's harsh words, but here's the truth. You don't have to be that way. He came in to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, I'm closing right here. Whosoever will, does. Whosoever didn't, don't. Look in verse 61. Look at this. Verse 60. Many, therefore, of His disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus Himself that knew in Himself that His disciples murmured in it, He said unto them, "Doth this offend you?" Does what offend them? The truth. Does the truth offend you? Well, you know, that preacher this morning, he told me that I wasn't saved. I love Jesus and I go to church. No, I didn't tell you you wasn't saved. This morning in my prayer closet, I asked the Holy Ghost, God, to let you know whether or not you're saved.
Amen.
I used to get hurt and angry and frustrated, but now the truth don't bother me.
Right. Amen.
Because now understand this: when you don't deal with the truth, if you don't deal with the truth, you will do exactly what this crowd did.
Amen.
Because notice what happened, and I'm closing. Verse 66. Look in verse 66. There was a great forsaking. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Preacher, when COVID hit, what happened to our church? A great forsaking.
Right.
I'm honest. It's a great forsaking. when the truth of the Word of God, what's happened to our churches in the last 40 years?
Watered down.
Why? Because there was a great forsaking. What caused the great forsaking? What caused it? Honestly, what caused it? When you get down to where the rubber meets the road, what caused the great forsaking?
People don't like it.
They didn't like the truth. They didn't like the truth. It offended them. Now, I'm sure they could have been some that got hurt here and there, and that's not one. But I'm talking about the overall majority when the church house used to be full. I'm not talking not in my kids' lifetime. I'm talking about when I was a child 50 years ago. Some of you were old, longer before then, when the houses was full. You say, well, they didn't have nowhere else to go. Well, there's some truth to that, but the fact of the matter is, they didn't like the truth, so here's what we did. We watered down the truth because we could draw the crowd back. And what's happened now is we've got twofold childs of hell because they're believing a heretical gospel. It's a heresy.
Amen.
Why? Because they love Jesus. They want to follow Jesus. They love the works of Jesus. But beloved, when they get to where the truth is being preached to them and where it gets down to where they're examining themselves, they say, I don't know that I like that. My question to you this morning, and I'm just being honest, I'm not being hard. Which crowd are you in?
Amen.
There's more to being saved than loving His teachings.
That's right.
There's more to being saved than loving His works. There's more to being saved than following His crowd. The fact of the matter is Jesus knows. Is that not what He said there in the first part of that verse? And Jesus knowing, I want Cassie and Layla to come back. What's John 6:64 say? But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray you. You see, this morning as I look out across the crowd, I don't know. You say, preacher, we've been here a long... We've been here past 12:15 this morning. We didn't start preaching until 12:45. Guess what? Could be today He's coming by.
Amen.
Could be today. Which side are you on? I'm honest this morning. What will your answer be when you stand before the King? Well, Lord, I trusted in my works. Lord, I believed your Bible. Lord, I read the Word of God. Lord, I prophesied in your name. Lord, I cast out devils. Lord, I did all of these wonderful things. And He says, depart from me. I don't know who you are. You say, preacher, my prayers never get answered. Maybe because He don't know who you are. Preacher, I don't have a love in my heart for the things of God. Maybe because He don't know who you are. You say, I don't like you questioning me. I'm not. I'm asking the Holy Ghost of God to question.
Amen.
Why? Because I want you to go to heaven. I want to meet you in the morning.
Right.
We're standing all over the house. How about it this morning? How about it this morning?